It is Wednesday, March 27, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio on Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Great to be back after a couple of days off. And Benny Way, I'm sure, filled in and threw a few grenades for the boys over the last couple of days. How are you, pup? What's doing?
Morning, buddy. Welcome back. Morning, Lozza. Morning to our listeners. Not much. Just trying to keep an eye on what's going on. Rugby league world.
A lot of players out.
Oh,
that's, a lot of big players struck me the last couple of days.
A lot of big players
Significant injuries.
I like the Tigers again this week, Loz. I reckon we can go again.
Morning, boys.
How are you, Lozza?
I wouldn't say you can't win. I think they were pretty impressive the other night against the Sharks. I didn't see it live, but I've since watched some highlights and watched some footage and... Yeah, what I saw was pretty good. Taking on a Parramatta side who are going to be difficult to beat at home and the style of footy they play will certainly test the Tigers, but I wouldn't say they can't beat them. Putting their confidence out of that performance. But yeah, there was a lot of injuries around, but I think there's always an injury story at the start of every year. It's just that it's come a little bit later this year. Usually it's in the trials. We always see the story about $20 million worth of talent sitting on the sideline. So I think it's just part and parcel of the game.
It's a halfback this year.
It's a contact sport. Mm. We've just got to get used to it. You've got to have good depth in your squad. And if you've got that, you can win games when players are missing. But what about that terrible bridge collapse over there in Baltimore last night?
Believe it.
I saw it on the news last night. And then obviously it's dominating this morning. But that was just horrific to see that shipping container boat go into that bridge.
What's the ship captain doing? What is doing there?
Well, I think it had a malfunction. I think he couldn't stop it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they actually warned people. They were doing roadworks. They were warning people.
Oh, to get off the
bridge. To get off the bridge.
Oh. Yeah, I think there was six or eight workers on the bridge at the time. I thought I heard yesterday as well. It was, and unfortunately, a few of them are still missing. So
terrible.
Fingers crossed. Hopefully. Yeah, they can find them. And
yeah, your life can change in such a short space of time, can't it? You know.
Yep. Enjoy the day, that's for sure.
Easter weekend coming up and naturally great footy across it. Tim Zoo, Sebastian Fundora on Sunday as well. It's going to be huge, isn't it?
And
also see Pup. Well, last night, by the way, the Socceroos beat Lebanon 5-0 as well. But I see the summer schedule, which has been reported for a few weeks for cricket next summer.
Did see that.
Yeah, come out as well. So the first test against India will be in Perth, November 22, December 6, the day-night test in Adelaide, December 14, Brisbane, MCG, Boxing Day, SCG, January 3 to 7.
Our first five test series against India.
Yeah.
So exciting. I think it's we've obviously always played five against England, but they've been the only country we play five against. So this will be a nice change.
Why has that changed?
I would assume money, if I'm to be 100% honest with you. I'd say that's it. Well,
they must be getting a lot more than India.
Who's that?
Well, India, to agree to playing five test matches. Like you talk about money, it'd be more India getting money.
Well, I think India have said, I think this might have been part of the big fish sticking together. So they just played five test matches against England in India. But again, every country knows when India comes to your shores, that's the only time you make money. Every other tour from every other team... You take a loss. Cricket Australia take a loss. So India makes enough money for the four-year cycle. So that one extra test match to Cricket Australia would be worth millions.
Yeah.
So, again, all you'd need to do is when you go to India, you just have to repay that back like England
you've
have
just
played.
You've
got to play five again.
Well, if they want you to play four, you've got to play four.
If they say jump, you say how high.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be a good series. I think that'll be a – if they turn up with a full-strength team, India – I think that'll be a really good series. Good for Test cricket and all the major venues. I don't mind the first Test being at Perth. I think you either want the Gabba or the Wacker because those two grounds are so different to everywhere else. Now, obviously, it's not at the Wacker. I understand that. But even Optus Stadium, that drop-in wicket, they normally leave a bit of grass and a bit of pace in it to try and create some similarities to the Wacker. So,
it'd suit touring teams, wouldn't it?
Say that again.
It suit touring teams, in particular, like India and...
The Wacker?
Yeah.
No way. Or WA? No, complete
more
opposite.
More than the Gabba.
It's Gabba and...
WA would suit them more than the Gabba.
Nah. Well, not...
Most definitely.
Mate, are you talking about old Wacker or Optus Stadium?
No, Optus Stadium.
Optus Stadium is probably...
We have a great record at Optus
Stadium. Yeah, we might have a great record.
It's probably not as fast and bouncy.
I reckon if you ask the Indians or the Poms, they'd rather play at Optus Stadium first than the Gabba.
Well, the Gabba, I thought even through my career when I was playing at the Wacker, I still felt the Gabba was the quickest, bounciest wicket.
Yeah.
When I started... my career, the Wacker was definitely the quickest, bounciest wicket. Yeah. But I reckon it transitioned to the Gabba. But what I'm saying is I think if Cricket Australia have a choice, I think either one of those two is still... There's a significant difference in those two compared to Adelaide Oval, SCG, MCG.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
I really like the Adelaide Oval Test going back to being a day-nighter. I think that is the right venue for a day-night test.
Because our last two series, we've lost... A couple of games here, haven't we, at the Gabba? Although we lost to India last time they came out. I know we lost to West Indies there.
Recently.
Yeah.
Not in the first test of the series. But I always thought the first test where we were undefeated and hadn't lost a match there. That would be such an advantage.
Yeah.
Well, the key is for the Perth people to actually go would be a good start.
Yeah, well, you'd think India, like that's what I'm saying. I think you'll see the stadiums a lot fuller than what we saw, and understandably as well. Like, don't get me wrong, we're playing West India. I know West Indies won the last test, and that's awesome for cricket, but we're playing a Pakistan team and a West Indies team. Mm-hmm. The Australian fans didn't know any of the players. I don't think you can blame them for not showing up. They're not being 60,000 or 80,000. I think when India turn up, I think you'll see
some
big crowds. England's the same.
Yeah.
Ashes series, you see big crowds, but that's the challenge you got now. You know, families have got. Do I go spend the money on BBL where I know the players for my own team, or do I go and spend the money and watch a day of Test cricket, Pakistan or West Indies? I don't know any players, and the cricket's not going to be great, so. I don't blame anyone for not showing up last summer, but I'd like to think against India we'll see good competitive cricket and a really good test summer that I think we need. I think we need a good test match summer. That's why I think everyone was so pumped that the West Indies won that last test.
Yeah, you're probably right. But this will be a great season.
I think it will
be the next couple of years, obviously, with India and...
is your font big enough there, Minnow?
Who's been playing with his computer? Seriously.
Benny Wayne.
What's going on here?
Mate, big font.
Seriously. It's been sabotage.
You got 4 words per page, mate.
Seriously.
Turn the font down.
Top text too. Daily. Mate, I think I've got more idea about cricket than you, unless you're Alan Border. So you're deleted.
Started early. I like it.
You're deleted.
Oh, dear.
Mate, and I will put my balls on the line and say that the Gabba in the first test, opposition teams don't want to play there more than what they want to play at Optus Oval. Please. You've got no idea.
Opposition teams would definitely prefer to play at Optus Stadium versus the old Wacker, that's for sure.
Against the old Wacker?
Yeah.
But I'm talking Optus.
It's
Optus
a dropping
Oval.
Wicket.
Mate,
yeah.
Mate,
yep.
You can't tell
You're
me
right.
that they wanted to play at the Gabba over
yep.
Optus Oval. No way in the world.
In saying our record is, I know you're right. It's not the old Wacker, but our record so far. It's early days. What there's been 7 test matches, I think, at the Optus Stadium in Perth, and we haven't gone close to losing any of them. Mm. But it is 6:13. I love it. Great days racing, of course. Saturday we'll get final fields, barrier draws today. The Tancred, the Vinery. As well, and some, I guess, races, you could say, lead-ups to big ones in the championships coming up at Randwick Saturday week as well. But back at Rosehill, of course, this week. Multi, get any praise on Monday?
Yes, lots of praise, but I've got some bad news for you.
No, hit me.
Loz has taken full responsibility for the success of the multi.
Oh, right, okay.
So just know, you haven't been left out. You've been a part of it, but you probably haven't got the personal praise that you deserve. Let's just leave it there. But as a team, I think we've praised it a lot.
It's a team sport.
To be fair, it fell in.
It's a team sport.
The Gambara had
I saw the races.
Absolutely fell in.
Yeah.
Nearly got pipped.
Doesn't matter how it gets there.
That's
Mira.
Exactly
Doesn't
right.
Doesn't matter
mate.
How it gets there.
Look at the Rabbitohs this week. I don't care if they win by one. They just got to win.
It's just got to win. and stops the noise, and they'll go looking for someone else.
Yes,
someone fix this font.
No, seriously. I like it. I like it so
that's
big.
Ridiculous.
That is big.
So when our mate Gary decides to send a text, what's Gaz's last name? I get it wrong every day.
He's from Woodalba.
Oh, Woodalba,
on the Central Coast.
Gaz, morning, morning, Gazza. When you send us a text this morning, mate, we'll see it in the largest font you can think of. So help yourself.
Yeah, more texts have come through.
They have come through, and I'd just like to thank this guy. He hasn't left a name to it, but he's acknowledged that he was wrong.
Yeah,
so I'm happy.
Yeah.
So thank you for acknowledging you're
great
wrong.
Stuff.
Gazza, yeah, morning, mate. We got yours as well. We'll pass it on to Benny Way. He liked his tips yesterday. And from San Diego, he says good morning as well.
Keep them coming. 0419 767 272. Many that we can't read, we have a great chuckle. Don't worry. What about this story? Yeah. And there's so much in the headlines we'll get through throughout the morning. But on the front page of the Herald Sun in Victoria today, footy drugs wrought. Bombshell AFL claims. Top league doctor organised secret test to help players evade detection. Demons whistleblower says stars told to fake injuries to avoid being caught. This is in the AFL. Of course, at this stage, it's the claims of a former doctor there at the Melbourne Footy Club who's now a whistleblower who has claimed it's reached Parliament, this. The federal MP, Andrew Wilkie, telling Parliament about this and has called on the Prime Minister to intervene, saying that basically the Melbourne Footy Club doctor has come out and said that when he was at the club, he has conducted off-the-books drug tests for players who may well have taken drugs in days before the match, so they're worried about getting a positive test on match
day. In competition, yeah.
So he's taken them to a separate facility, and according to this report, these off-the-books tests have been allegedly authorised by the AFL. So to go and basically see whether they could potentially test positive on match day, and, well, if that is a chance of happening, these players have been basically told to fake an injury. If this is
heavy
proven,
accusation.
At the moment,
heavy.
Accusation, I mean, this is as
a big story. If it's
big
been,
a scandal
if it's
as he can get.
Yeah, especially if the AFL are involved in telling the doctors to take the players off site and
so
give them a drug
test. So let me understand this. So the players come gone to the doctor and said he's had or she's had an illicit substance out of competition. Right.
Well, in the days in the lead up to a game, and therefore it could still be in the system on match day.
So
would
then
be
the
concern
so then
of the player.
So then the doctor has said, "Let's go and have a test.
Yep.
Private test
off the books.
See
yes.
if it's still in your system.
Yep.
If it is in your system, you're going to be ruled out injured. If it's not in your system, you go and play."
That's the according to
oh
this
my
report today.
God.
Stress. This is the report.
But what are
they in the
doing
Herald
getting
Sun?
On the wow cocaine a couple of days
well,
before
that's
a game because cocaine's out of your system. Quite quickly.
Well,
if you know what you're taking.
Yeah.
A lot of the time with stuff like that, people are taking it with the assumption that it's you don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
You don't know what else has gone
yeah.
into the cocaine.
Yeah,
so something could stay in your
but
system
if you
for
take,
longer than 24 hours.
If you're playing on a sad day, what are you doing on
yeah,
a Thursday
I
night?
I don't know, Lord.
Or
it's
a Friday
incredible.
Night.
Yeah, but mate, these days, mate, that what's the difference between that and drinking? That's what they'd say. Like, if
oh,
you have
yeah,
a few
yeah,
drinks,
yeah, but I, yeah,
but that's how they take it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't.
And there's they would believe the hangover
yeah.
for the drugs
yeah.
is less than
oh,
the hangover
yeah,
for the alcohol.
Yeah, but you're not drinking 2 days before a game or a day before the game.
Especially in the AFL.
Why would you take drugs 2 days before the game?
No.
I can understand if they're out on a night out or something like that. On a weekend, it's 7 days between their next game. But I don't know. I don't get it why they'd be doing it a day or two before the game. But if the AFL have known, and the club has known, and the coaches have known, and everyone on the board has known. Well, they're in all sorts.
But what
was the drugs policy with the AFL? I mentioned this to Ben Way yesterday. Wasn't there a hotline that you could ring and self-report, and that didn't count as a strike?
I know the second time they get four matches.
Yeah.
So I can't remember the whole
policy. It might
policy.
Be now, but I think a couple of years ago, it was getting abused, and that's one of the reasons why they looked to change it.
I know they're
that
looking.
That was my recollection.
I know they're going to update their illicit policy at the moment. They're going through the process of updating it. So that will, this story will get obviously more legs today. It's a massive story, front page of the Herald Sun. We'll go to the back page of the Courier Mail. Walsh Inc.'s new mega deal, eye-watering contract. Reece agrees, $5.5 million extension. Youngest million-dollar man in NRL. Highest paid Bronco in history.
Well, he's denied it.
The man himself on social media last night has put a little Instagram story and says, don't believe everything you read. No deal has been signed. So we'll see how this all transpires. According to the report in the Courier Mail, Reece Walsh has agreed, according to
the
report.
He will be signing.
Well, you know.
He will be signing.
You think he would, but it's interesting that he personally would come out and say that. Because to me, if he's coming out and saying that, that's to have a conversation with another team or to get more money.
I just think he just hasn't signed it. He's probably agreed, but then you get a cooling off period as well. You get a 7-day cooling
off period. I reckon it's interesting that his agent could have come out and said that.
I saw Jerome Luai do it before he went to the Tigers, but everyone knew he was going to the Tigers.
But did he get more money by coming out and saying, I haven't signed yet, we're still in negotiation?
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
No. I'd be stunned if another club was able to come in and take Reece Walsh.
The Broncos what are they off? $5.5 million
over 5 years.
The Broncos
won't be getting beaten on Reece Walsh.
Do you reckon no one will pay more money than that, though?
I think commercially and third-party deals that he'll be able to attract up there in Brisbane and Queensland.
And his family's there. Yeah, wasn't that a big part of why he left the Warriors?
He won't be moving, mate.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'd be shocked if he did.
I'm surprised he would come out and...
Probably just hasn't been signed.
Mate, if you've agreed to it,
probably some more
going today and
clauses in the contract that they're still just, toing and throwing over, pup.
Anyway, great signing for the Broncos.
Yeah. Subject to it.
If you've agreed to this deal,
subject to X, Y, and Z being signed off on.
And Leichhardt Oval, front and back page of the Daily Telegraph today. Oval and out, lack of funding for ground could end Leichhardt's NRL era. And on the back page of the telly, goodbye Leichhardt. NRL must take over eighth wonder of the world story by Paul Kent. So the Premier, Chris Minns, says there's no state government money coming due to, they've got $180 billion worth of debt there in the state government. Paul Kent in today's Telegraph, he put to Peter Volandis, would they, the NRL, consider buying the ground from the Inner West Council? And he indicated they'd be interested, did Peter Volandis. The mayor, though, Darcy Byrne, there at the Inner West Council, says it's not on the table at the moment. But if nothing happens with Leichhardt, it is inevitable that, unfortunately, NRL at the famous ground is coming to an end without investment.
Yeah.
But didn't we love watching it there on Saturday night? I mean, how good was it?
Yeah, and the Tigers, I think they obviously got there's extra motivation playing in front of your home fans there. And it sounds to me from speaking to a lot of players that have played there, and Loz says it as well, you can feel it as a player. The standards are not, where it sits at the moment, it's not a good enough facility these days. And the amount of people it holds to be used by the Tigers. I think that's, as hard as it is to say that, I think that's the reality. It either needs the money invested into it. Because you were talking about, what ground were you talking about yesterday?
Combank.
How can you compare Combank Stadium?
Combank and Allianz Stadium are two world-class
great
facilities.
Stadiums,
and you compare that to Leichhardt. Yeah. I understand the tribalism that's created those grounds. But if Allianz is full, or 35, 40,000, like the other night against South and the Roosters, it's a great atmosphere. Yeah. Combank Stadium's a great atmosphere. Mm. So I get it. But the Tigers make no money when they play Leichhardt. So you're a club looking to generate income, and you're playing at a ground with 16,500. Yeah. You barely walk away after a game like that making any money at all. Mm. Whereas you can get guaranteed a couple hundred thousand by playing at those bigger venues. Mm. Yes, I know it's not great for the players if you're playing in front of, 5,000 or 10,000. But, you play Combank Stadium, you get 20,000. Mm. That creates a good atmosphere.